A reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, He repented of the evil that He had threatened to do them. He did not carry it out. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus invites, challenges, and commands four apostles: Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to collaborate in his work of salvation, to spread and extend the kingdom of God, his kingdom of salvation. Jesus, in doing so, reveals that he did not only seek to redeem us, but to use his redeemed, those who are redeemed, to go out and redeem others. In other words, those who were first rescued by God are now employed by God to rescue others. The call to apostleship, if we might coin a phrase, to rescuemanship, is a personal call given personally to each and every one of us. It is not a call to follow a creed or a philosophy. It is a call to follow a divine person, the second divine person of the Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, who follows the Father in the Holy Spirit. The call to apostleship is a call to follow God, who as all good cannot lie or deceive us, and as all knowing cannot himself be deceived or confused in anything he says or teaches. It is to follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life, the way without which there is no going, the truth without which there is no knowing, and the life without which there is no living or eternal life. This is the first principle and foundation of Catholic Christian discipleship and apostleship. Follow our Lord Jesus Christ and no other. Follow means to be led by the humanly incomprehensible example of the God who became man while still remaining God. The call to apostleship is a call to radical conversion, a total comprehensive reorientation of our values and our priorities. This is what St. Paul means when he says we are in the world, but what? Not of it. It is to first seek the kingdom of God in all righteousness, and everything will be ours. Peace, security, freedom from war, terror, prosperity. We don't need to make a war on terror. We need to make a war on error, because it's error that causes terror. Why? Because it's false miscomprehensions about the place of God or no place in society. It's false sects, S-C-C-T-S, who are trying to impose their anti-Christian and anti-human philosophies on others, even at the extent of murdering thousands and millions of persons in the name of God. It's all these things that are causing the upheaval. It's to make our Catholic faith, that the Trinitarian God founded the center of our life, our everything, our reason for existence. It is to reject any compromise, to think we can serve both God and Mammon. One cannot follow both God and the world given the sin. Now, the world created by God is beautiful, but of course, due to our human sinfulness, we've disfigured a lot of what's going on in the world. In fact, Jesus himself, who is truth itself, said that he would vomit out and reject the lukewarm. And he also says, for those who bear witness to my Father before men here on earth, I'll bear witness to you to my Father in heaven. And for those who do not bear witness to my Father here on earth before men, I will not bear witness to you to my Father in heaven. And so these lukewarm persons, Catholics, are those who compromise by their error, by their apathy, and their lack of courage in professing the faith. See, the problem we have here is, folks, we know this. I'm 62. If you're my age and older, we know what's happening the last 50 years. There's too many Catholics who profess the faith, but they do not possess the faith. Took me 60 years to figure that out, by the way. They do not possess the faith intellectually, morally, or spiritually. Any one of those, two of those, or three of those. One cannot pretend to be a Catholic, yet hold on to our secular, selfish, materialistic, and hedonistic attitudes. One cannot, therefore, be Catholic in pro-contraception, dividing the unitive love from the procreative love. One cannot be Catholic in pro-abortion. One cannot be Catholic and support same-sex marriage. One cannot be Catholic and live an actively sinful hetero or homosexual lifestyle. One cannot be Catholic who dissents from church teaching, which is God's teaching. So many people try to justify their dissent from church teaching by saying, oh, that's man-made law. No, it is not. Christ is the head of the church. That's what Colossians says. We're members of his body. So the church magisterium teaches the eternal, divine, the natural, and the divine, the revealed God, law of God in the Old Testament and New Testament. That's what we're violating. We dissent. So we can't be Catholic, good Catholics, and dissent from God's teaching through his church in areas of doctrine, authority, and morality. This is not what some people call informed dissent. That's what I hear. You probably heard that before. This is not informed dissent. It is deformed logic. We cannot be Catholic and vote for political candidates who promote and legalize all these errors and try to make what are more wrong civil rights. And this is what we have right now, the issue of same-sex marriage. You know, they try to put us on the defense of those who advocate same-sex marriage and say, you're denying my civil rights. No, you're unmerciful. See, they try not only to kill our body, but they try to kill our reputation. You're not a real Catholic Christian or Christian. You're unmerciful. You're not charitable. It's not the point at all. We love those who are struggling with their sin. We want to bring them to confession. We have organizations like Courage to help them rehabilitate. We love them, want them to keep from their sin that will take them to hell, from the mortal sin that will take them to hell. We have to take it. What we have to do is take it on a higher level and say, no, a moral wrong can never be a civil right. That's the issue. That's where we have to put the plane. We have to put the discussion on. And you know, it's very interesting how Satan creeps in there and try to twist and distort things. The same advocates of the same-sex marriage, right? They say, oh, we're like Martin Luther King. You know, we're like those Afro-American protesters, civil rights activists of 50 years ago. You know, you have that movie Selma. I just saw that the other day. But it's a total distortion of the truth. Because the Afro-American civil rights advocates of, say, a half a century ago, they were trying to protest a civil right to correct a social and a moral wrong, which was what? The right to vote, the right to enter any university you're qualified to, the right to trade unions if you're qualified for that work, the right to use restroom facilities and restaurant, enter any restaurant you choose. It's a whole different kind of a thing here. And so we are the Jonas of today, called out, as the word apostle means, sent out to enter the Ninevehs of today, a 21st century world rapidly disintegrating into moral chaos, secularism, and terrorism, and be saviors of men and profess God's call to repentance and conversion. You know, we celebrated, well, I don't want to celebrate, we commemorated, mourned on the 22nd of January, just three days ago, the infamous decision by the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. And I made the point that that was when our country started to die, because that's when we started to undermine the religious, spiritual, and moral foundation that our country was founded on. We stopped being one nation under God, and we start becoming one nation over God, trying to stand over God's commandments and trying to make our anti-commandments in violation of the commandments given by God. That's the struggle we have today. Are we one nation under God or one nation under Satan? That's the battle we have to be strong and fight for. We cannot profess what we do not practice. We cannot totally convert others. We have not been first totally converted ourselves. I mean, how can we be fishers of men if we're the ones in the sea, floundering around in the sea of ignorance and despair and darkness ourselves? Saints Peter, Andrew, James, and John were called by our Lord to be fishers of men because they were first fished out of their confusion and despair by the supreme fisherman himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord Jesus Christ is not just the good shepherd, he's also the good fisherman. Jesus did this first by stirring and preparing them by his preaching and the call to repentance and conversion as prepared by his precursor, John the Baptist. And remember, at the beginning of the gospel today, it said, after John had died, right? After he had been put to death, the precursor had already begun, fulfilled his role of preparing the way for the Lord. So now Jesus steps into the stage, having the way prepared by Saint John the Baptist, who was the first fisherman called by God to fish men out of their sin by his baptizing them in the River Jordan. So this is what Jesus does to each and every one of us. He prepares us as his disciples and apostles, the fishers of souls. Like the John the Baptist, we are John the Baptist of today, who prepare others to follow the way of Christ by sowing the sacramental seeds of baptism, confirmation, penance, and the Holy Eucharist, followed by years of catechetical instruction and preaching. Then suddenly, in the midst of our worldly work and preoccupations, God calls us to our life's work for him. Jesus isn't calling fishermen then to be fishers of men. He employed the natural talents that these four apostles already possessed to now be used for his supernatural work for the salvation of souls. This is how Jesus calls us. Jesus says to each and every one of us, follow me. Use the natural talents that I have given you as your creator to join me in collaboration in my work of the salvation of souls. One can see this dynamic amongst my fellow members, my priestly members of the Fathers of Mercy. We are all called to be priestly fishers of men, yet we are not all called in the same way or at the same time in our lives or in the same circumstances. Some of us were priests who were called in childhood. Some of us were priests who were called in early adulthood. Some of us were called in our middle age. Some of us were military men with leadership skills and discipline. Some of us were communication experts, very articulate in speech. Some of us were tradesmen, very skilled craftsmen. Some of us were scientists with PhDs. Some of us were farmers, very close to nature. Some of us were teachers, very well educated by catechetical masters, now up for sainthood. Some of us were even sport writers with excellent writing and computer skills. The fellows at breakfast are telling me I should say something about some deflated footballs or something. I don't know. Yet, all of us are today. We are all priestly fishers of men, dwelling together like these four apostles in the divine boat, the ark of salvation, the church, in the midst of the sea of worldly despair, using the divine safety net of gospel teaching, the seven sacraments, the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, and the power of our priesthood to pull out desperate souls drowning in the sea of despair into the boat, the divine refuge the church offers to bring them back to Jesus waiting on the shore, the heavenly Jerusalem that awaits each and every one of us at the end of our life's journey. Yet, priests are not only the fishers of men, are not the only fishers of men. Jesus calls all members of his church, men and women, priests, religious laity, single and married, to be fishers of men, rescuers, and collaborators in his work of salvation. Jesus calls in each and every one of us to use our God-given talents, talents God gave us precisely to be co-workers in his work of salvation, to rescue a world drowning in despair, our 21st century Nineveh, so to speak. So what are your gifts and talents? Think about it, folks. What are your gifts and talents? Are you articulate? Are you compassionate? Do you have good interpersonal skills? Do you possess technical, medical, teaching, organizational talents, computer talent? Do you possess musical skills? Do you possess good parenting skills? Are you good in counseling the spiritually oppressed and depressed? All these are talents you possess. They are God's call for you to use for the spread of his kingdom. A kingdom of God, the people of God, who are possessing diverse talents, use them for one goal, the salvation of souls and the extension of the kingdom of God to the entire race, to the entire human race. God uses fishermen to fish men, because it is only a fisherman who knows the nature of a fish, and therefore how to fish. So God then uses weak, fallen human persons like ourselves, who haven't experienced God's mercy and the redemption and in their conversion, who are able to help other human persons to be converted and redeemed. Jesus does this because he knows that we who were once drowning in the sea of despair, we who were rescued, we in turn know how to rescue others. It takes one to know one. It takes an apostle who's experienced God's ongoing mercy through our continual conversion of baptism, confirmation, penance, the Holy Eucharist, and prayer, to know how to impart God's mercy to others. Jesus called the four apostles to follow him, to be fishers of men and souls. Jesus calls us in our 21st century world, drowning in suicidal despair, terrorism, secularism, relativism, darkness, the Nineveh of today, to follow the church and her disciples and apostles who follow Christ, who followed his Father in heaven as guided by the Holy Spirit, to enter out of our sea of despair to our God-desired eternal destiny, the heavenly shoreland of the eternal Jerusalem God intends and created every human person to obey. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God desires all men, that means men, women, children, to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. Then our Lord will tell us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, apostle, and fisher of men. Now enter into my eternal rest." God bless you. May our Lord Jesus Christ be praised.